The following broadcast has been approved for Elite Hornets fans.
What a block by Cody Zeller.
Walker down the lane. Drive, shoots, scores! Game over!
Bringing back the buzz was only the beginning.
We will not go quietly into the night.
It's Hornets talk for the hardcore fan. It's Hive Talk Live.
Welcome in, Hornets fans. You are listening to Hive Talk Live Thursdays, brought to you by our good friends at ESPN 730 on atthehive.com. It's Hornets talk for the most hardcore of fans. We are live in the Gittimer.com studios in BEA, beautiful uptown Charlotte. And it really is beautiful, Justin, because springtime is here. Nice days all week. It has been a wonderful time to walk around uptown Charlotte. I'm Doug Branson, joined by my good friend from ESPN 730, Justin Thomas. Justin, how are you?
You know, I'm a little tired.
Don't say that. You got to bring the heat. Listen, you know, Justin.
I don't like this.
You're excited. This has been a huge march for the Hornets. You're excited.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm excited because my Lakers still suck. But it does make my job.
They got a victory last night.
They
overtime.
They did. Lake Show fans.
Don't worry. We'll talk about D'Angelo Russell coming up.
But there's
up.
Good things. You know, the Hornets are winning. People care. So whenever the Hornets are winning, it makes my job that much more interesting because people care. And whenever people want to talk Hornets, I'm all ears.
There you go. Coming up, we're giving away two tickets to Friday night's contest against the Philadelphia 76ers. If the Bulls lose tonight to the Rockets, that could be the game the Hornets clinch their playoff spot. If you're listening live, I'll give you instructions on how to win those two seats. What?
Can I say something?
Sure.
My guy James Harden is going for like 30 tonight. The Hornets should clinch.
Yeah, hopefully. Later on in the show, we'll give you the hashtag that will, or no, actually, we'll give you the tweet that you have to retweet. All right, could be the playoff clincher. Either way, it's one of the last chances to see the Hornets team before the playoffs start. You can listen to us live every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on HiveTalkLive.com. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast aggregator to get shows uploaded to your mobile device of choice, like our new Hive O'Clock Alarm, a morning mini pod, 15 minutes, David and I, getting you up to speed on everything you need to know about not only the Hornets, but also what's going on in the NBA as well. With that, we say, let's swarm Charlotte. A new member of the Hive Talk Live team, Dustin Pfeiffer, coming up in just a few as well. We're growing. That's right. And Nick Denning, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Nick.
Happy birthday, Nick.
He was on Tuesday's show. He's coming back to talk about Aaron Harrison. We'll check in with him in the D-League as well, so that's coming up. But first, before we get into any of that, I want to recap what has been an amazing month of March for the Hornets. They end that month at 13-3, that's a franchise record for most wins in a month. 5 of 6 of those were on the road. They've shot over 40% from beyond the arc. They take an offensive rating of 110. My goodness. Defensive rating of 101. That defensive rating almost back to December levels of defense for the Hornets. Assist to turnover ratio 2.07. That's a high for the Hornets. And the pace is back up above 98. They're not getting more fast break points necessarily. It just seems like they're getting into their offense quicker, getting more possessions, and that's been good for the offense. Three-point percentage in both February and March for opponents is hovering at just above 32%. That's far better than January's 38% and December's 35.5%. We're going to talk about Courtney Lee coming up with Dustin Pfeiffer, and I think that he might have a big say. I think he's had a big say in that perimeter defense improving for the Hornets, and it's going to be important, Justin, for them in the playoffs. What you have to be able to shut down the three-point shot. I want to ask you this, though. When you look back at the month of March, Justin, if you had one word to describe this historic, I'm going to take that word away from you, historic Hornets month, what would it be?
I got one for you.
Give it to me.
Significant. You should ask me why it's significant.
Significant. It's multisyllabic.
Oh, yeah. Because I would say this. They had a phenomenal month. What is it? They were like the third best team in the NBA, mm-hmm. Record-wise. They beat the Spurs. And another thing, and sometimes teams can be really good teams, but I don't know if that necessarily really makes you a good team. I think it's the games where you're playing the teams that you have a better record than, but you know those teams are going to come out and compete. And I feel like you hear a lot of people always say, yeah, these guys are learning how to win. These guys are learning how to win. They say it all the time in college. And, you know, from recent years, you know, I'd watch a lot of Hornets games and it would come down to the fourth quarter and they'd be right in it. And when it came down to it, they just couldn't close. And this year, granted, the talent upgrade, I told myself I wasn't going to say that word, but they have the talent upgrade and they're winning. There are games that have been ugly. There are games that have been pretty. You've had the unlikely suspects come in the game, like Cody Zeller. You had Troy Daniels play in certain spots. You had Jeremy Lamb get back in the rotation. Jeremy Lin's shot is starting to fall. Courtney Lee is comfortable. Al Jefferson is showing he can pass out of the double team. And Kemba Walker, who went on a great stretch, he looks human again. And the team is still winning. I was really curious to see how they would play when Kemba didn't score 30 points, when he scored 16. And then also, you know that guy, I believe his name is Nick Batum.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
I think he's a pretty good basketball player also. So things are coming together. They're healthy, and they're playing good basketball at the right time.
Yeah, I think he's proven that acquisition was very savvy by Rich Cho.
Cho knows.
Yes, he does.
I like that.
My one word, I could go with healthy, but that seems a little odd now that Jeremy Lin has an ailing back and – you know, you had the Spencer Hawes injury as well, but their main core has remained healthy. But I'm not going to go with that word. I'm going to go with, and I have to use the right inflection for this, easy? Because, I mean, if you look at the month of March, the competition was certainly not up to the level of competition that they faced in prior months. So I think while I am excited that the Hornets did well in March, I still have some question marks about this team and the transition that they have to make. And I think to transition to get ready for the playoffs, and I think a lot will be answered very soon, April 3rd at Cleveland and April 5th at Toronto. I think those are two big barometers for where the Hornets are. Can they rise to that level of competition? Can they win if the three-pointer isn't falling to the level, to 40%? You know, I mean, that's amazing to shoot 40% from beyond the arc for a month. Can they win at 35%? Because they lose at about 33%. Can they win ball games that are tight? Because that's what playoff basketball is. So I have questions about that. But tell us what you think on Twitter. One word to describe this historic month for the Hornets, 13 wins. Again, that's a franchise record for any month. For this team. This morning, I talked to somebody very interesting, Jonathan Abrams, author of a new book, Boys Among Men, How the Prep to Pro Generation Redefined the NBA and Sparked a Basketball Revolution. This was a great book, a great read, and it had a couple of really interesting pieces in there about the Hornets franchise over the years. Obviously, the name that comes up, I think, immediately when you think prep to pro is Kwame Brown. No, I'm kidding. It's one Kobe Bean Bryant.
The Black Mamba.
You know, Justin, one of Justin's favorite, I won't even say player, just favorite probably human beings.
Yeah, that is my
on
guy.
On the face of the earth.
That is my guy.
All right, well, then just for you, Justin, I have a clip from that interview. I interviewed him this morning. The full piece will be aired on Tuesday. We've got a great feature on prep to pro and how it's affected the Hornets franchise. But I just want to play a piece just for Justin because he's you know, really loves Kobe. Yeah, and I think it's important, Jonathan, that we understand, like, hindsight is always 20/20. And even after Kevin Garnett was drafted a year prior out of high school, it seems like a lot of the GMs and a lot of the front offices were still struggling with the idea that a prep star could make the transition into the NBA. Is that correct?
Yeah, without a doubt. And a couple factors went into it. Only a handful of guys had made the jump before. In the 70s, it was Moses Malone, Hero Dawkins, and Bill Willoughby. And then Sean Kemp is kind of, he enrolled in college, but he never played for a college team. So he's kind of in that class. And then it was Kevin Garnett. So that was five big guys who had made that jump. So Kobe was the biggest guard. And the thinking was that the big guys could assimilate into the NBA faster just because their bodies would allow them to. So there was that skepticism over Kobe. And then also, you know, I think the biggest example of teams still being skeptical over it is that the Timberwolves could have taken Kobe. They just had the success of with KG the year before. KG wasn't the MVP KG, obviously, yet, but he had shown that he had staying power in the league and he was going to grow and keep working and get better. But the Timberwolves didn't want to kind of tempt fate twice in consecutive years and ended up taking Stephon Marbury that year.
Do you think that had Bob Bass gone back on the deal with the Lakers and kept Kobe Bryant, do you think Kobe would have played in Charlotte? Oh, sorry. That's it for the tease. We can't hear Jonathan's answer until Tuesday.
No, that was just that. You know what that was like?
That was my early April Fool's joke on you. You were waiting for the answer. You wanted to know, would Kobe have played in Charlotte? Well, if you want to know, make sure to listen to us live on Tuesday. We'll have that full interview.
That
Justin.
Was.
So, of course, I was talking to Jonathan about the 96 draft. We had many more questions on the 96 draft. Of course, the Hornets selected Kobe Bryant 13th in that draft, but traded him to the Los Angeles Lakers for Vlade Divac.
Do you know, this is that was just like waking up and ESPN tease you on Sunday morning with the Sunday conversation. You're like, oh, they're talking to Tiger Woods. They're talking to LeBron James. Talking to Kobe Bryant.
It was a great talk.
They show you that nice clip as SportsCenter's coming on, but they don't get to it till the last 5 minutes of the show.
We're learning how to do things.
But I did like that. That was a good tease. I was intrigued. My antennas were up.
Jonathan has been. If you listen to NBA podcasts, you've probably heard him talk on this book before because it's a wildly popular book, and he's been on so many podcasts. He's been with Zach Lowe. He's been on The Vertical, and he was gracious enough to extend an interview to this small little Charlotte outlet, and we appreciated it. And again, that full interview coming up on Tuesday. All right, let's move on to our preview. We're not only going to preview the game coming up tomorrow night, Philadelphia at Charlotte. We're also going to talk about this Cavaliers game, big game coming up on Sunday. But let's start with Philadelphia. So Clifford talked about this matchup and the advantages. He talked about it at practice today, the advantages of playing a team twice in a row, the home and home, this close to the playoffs. Talk about what Clifford had to say there, Justin.
Well, actually, sadly, I missed it. But guess what? Guess what, though?
Don't worry. I got your back. I got your back, Justin. So basically, you know, and I agree that having a team back-to-back like this is an advantage, even if it's the lowly Philadelphia 76ers, because they might not have NBA-level talent, but they have an elite coach, in my mind, in Brett Brown, a very smart NBA coach. So he's going to do the best with the players he has, and he's going to make adjustments. And I thought he made good adjustments in that first game, getting as small as possible. He was able to disrupt what Frank Kaminsky was able to do and really stifle his game with smaller players. So, you know, expect, I don't know, maybe they'll take 40-plus three-pointers again, or maybe they'll try to figure out a way to score inside on this Hornets team. But you can bet that Brett Brown will make some kind of adjustment, and it will be beneficial to this Hornets team to figure out what that adjustment is early in the game and then try to counteract it.
You know, that was a great, elaborate answer. I'm not going to tell you all that, because you know why? The Philadelphia 76ers are the worst team in the NBA. There are a lot of people.
Don't go out on a limb.
There are a lot of people. I've actually heard a lot of guys recently kind of mention the Hornets. And national guys say, hey, look out. The Hornets have done this. The Hornets have done that. So now they're starting to get a little bit of attention. Not a ton, but a little bit. And if you want to be taken serious in this league at this time of the year, you win basketball games. If Charlotte was to lose to the Philadelphia 76ers, I don't want to hear anything about Brett Brown.
Well, you can't. So the danger with this game, obviously, is the Hornets look to Cleveland and look to Toronto and get hype for those two matchups because it'll be a chance to get a couple of signature road wins. And you look at the standings right now, and they have an opportunity not only to clinch a playoff berth, but to possibly get home court advantage in the playoffs. And you just don't want to look past the Philadelphia 76ers, because, you know, you take a look at your Lakers team that beat the Miami Heat in overtime, and the Heat playing good ball, mm-hmm. as good a ball as the Hornets or the Celtics or the Hawks, and the Lakers were able to defeat them in overtime in a close game, and they played them very physically, and they were able to do things successfully, even though the Lakers have a lot of turmoil surrounding their basketball team. So, you know, you don't want to give Philadelphia, who can get hot from beyond the arc, any opportunities in this game. You want to see the Hornets get off to a good start, something they've struggled with this season, playing well in the first quarter. And I want to see Frank. I want to see the adjustment that Frank Kaminsky makes against, because we saw Kendall Marshall and several others really able to stay with Frank Kaminsky and negate what he could give you on the perimeter, but also somehow stay with him inside, because Frank, you know, they fronted him a lot. They got very physical. They were fast, and Frank wasn't able to get clean catches. He turned the ball over. So you want to see, not only can Frank use his physicality to overpower some of those smaller matchups, but you want to see if the team can recognize, because there were some times in that last game against Philadelphia where the ball didn't get to Frank quick enough when he had good position inside, and you know, you allowed Kendall Marshall to get a front on Frank Kaminsky. So I think that's an adjustment that the Hornets have to make, and I think the other question, Justin, is can the Hornets get a breather in the fourth quarter? And, you know, do they need the rest?
No, not right now.
You don't think they need a rest?
Not right now. I think they're all right now. Nobody's, outside of Big Al, who has a ton of mileage, I think everybody else is good to go. About the Frank thing, which I thought was a really good point, is I feel like he's learning to become more physical and actually use his body, because there's some guys that are big or strong and don't know how to use their body. And one thing I've noticed over the past, I would say, month, every time we're allowed in the practice, Frank, Spencer Haas, Tyler Hansbrough, Frank, and Spencer, they all work out together. And mm-hmm. it's like a one-on-one, like a king of the court type deal. And they don't, but it's not finesse at all. Like, everybody is right on each other. And when I watch it, you know, there are times, you know, Frank can make a good move, and there are times he goes straight into their chest. And I realized he's finally learning, because Tyler Hansbrough is a bulldog. Like, when Tyler gets out there, whether he's guarding or he's guarding Frank or he's matched up with Spencer, he makes it hell for them. So I feel like, okay, if I have to go against this every day.
Frank has better control. He has a better handle, I think, than Tyler Hansbrough. So that's where that advantage, and he has to use that advantage. I take a look at the play in overtime when the Lakers defeated the Heat, and it was Julius Randle using his handle to get away from Ding and face up and hit the floater in the lane. Frank doesn't have that yet. He has the spin move. That's his sort of go-to move. But if anyone gets a body on him after that spin move, he's not able to deflect that contact yet, and so that's where you'll see a turnover or possibly an awkward shot. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch, I think.
He's young, man. Give him some time.
Listen, I'm just analyzing.
He's young.
I'm just analyzing what's happening.
give young Frank a break.
All I can do is comment on what I see. Okay, let's bring in the newest member of the Hive Talk Live team, Dustin Pfeiffer, now a special contributor for Hive Talk Live. Dustin, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Good. We're about to talk you have some coffee? Do you have some Red Bull or something for Justin? He's tired. He's upset that I didn't play more of the Kobe Bryant conversation from earlier.
I was listening in, and you were asking if the Hornets needed some rest. So maybe Justin needs a little rest.
I do. Wells Fargo Securities is getting the best of me. They're getting the best of me.
Yeah, we're going to run non-contact practices here at Hive Talk Live from now on.
I appreciate that, Coach.
Until the playoffs
that.
So that Justin's okay for the show. Now, I want to talk about this game coming up on Sunday. I know the Hornets certainly don't want to look ahead to Sunday, but we will against the Cavaliers. The last game the Hornets played against the Cavaliers was also in Cleveland on February 24th. The Cavs get the victory 114-103. It was really all about defense. LeBron James, 23 points. Kyrie Irving, 23 points. 23, also the number of Michael Jordan. I see some Illuminati here. but don't you? You have to get either LeBron or Kyrie out of a rhythm in the first quarter because, you know, they were both able to just shoot uncontested shots, get into transition. I mean, you gotta focus in on one of those guys, right? Dustin, who would you focus in on, LeBron or Kyrie?
Well, yeah, you definitely got to take one of those guys out of the picture. I remember both that game very clearly. I remember LeBron James diving on the floor in the first quarter, taking it to the basket at will, and the Hornets were actually scoring points on the offensive end, but it looked like one of those games where LeBron James was coming to play with the purpose, and we've kind of seen this year, maybe he's in and out on some games because he's resting until the playoffs. He knows the playoffs is when it counts, but that was one of those games where he was trying to make a statement, and once he got rolling, once Kyrie got rolling, there was nothing the Hornets could do to stop him. So like you said, Doug, you've got to get to him early, and I think the guy you got to focus on is Kyrie Irving. I mean, LeBron is going to get his. He's a bull down low. He can just attack to the basket whenever he wants, but if you can get Kyrie Irving off his game, then it almost forces LeBron to do too much. Maybe Kevin Love take more shots than they want to get. So I think Irving is the guy you got to take out of the picture. And the other thing is, Irving is not a great defender. So if Kemba can take him out of that on the other end and score some points, then you've got Irving really worrying defensively what he needs to do with Kemba, and that might break his rhythm on offense a little bit. So I think that's the guy you go after to try to attack when you're on offense and he's on defense, and also try to get him out of his game on offense. He's a great shooter, but if you can force him to shoot long contested jump shots, late in the shot clock, those kind of things, that's what you got to do. And if you can get him out of rhythm, then it kind of, everybody else kind of falls out of rhythm as well. And we've seen, if things start going kind of sideways for this Cavaliers team, they're not really great at getting it back on track. So I think it's a very good point by you to say get to them early and take them out of their game.
Yeah, and I mean, someone has to help Kemba Walker on offense. In the last game, no other starter eclipsed double figures in scoring. Kemba Walker had an exceptional game. Again, he has a favorable matchup against Kyrie Irving, but you have to have somebody else step up on offense. And luckily for the Hornets, Channing Frye, who blitzed the Hornets bench for 15 points on 4-of-8 shooting from beyond the arc in that last game, he's played less than 15 minutes in their last four contests and is 1 of 17 from beyond the arc. Despite not having a more substantial role off the bench, he's still getting 3 or 4 shots up a night. So, you know, he's still dangerous. And what makes this game, I think, Dustin, tough to scout for is that you don't know what bench contributors are going to have to step up, because you've got Kyrie, who may not play tonight in their game against the Nets. You've got LeBron James, who they're trying to rest and get ready for the playoffs. And, you know, he's donning the suit and getting on the sidelines and trying to coach the squad up and, you know, make sure that assistant coach Tyronn Lue, you know, has everything that LeBron needs. So this is kind of a tough game to prepare for, because you're probably not preparing for, you know, full-on Cleveland Cavaliers basketball.
No, you're definitely not. They're definitely going a different direction to end this season. Their main focus is the playoffs. Even though they're only two games up on the Raptors for that number one spot, it kind of feels like they've still got that kind of locked in right now. So they have really started looking ahead. And like you said, I mean, the other night was very strange to see how that went with LeBron on the sideline in the suit, standing behind Tyronn Lue, doing some defensive stances, showing guys what to do while Lue is talking. So, again, it's just a weird situation up there. You got Shumpert dropping towels on Lue's shoulder coming out of a huddle. So you don't know what you're going to get. But I look back to that game in Charlotte where the Hornets really played well against the Cavaliers to get a win. And kind of the guy you were talking about a few minutes ago is Frank Kaminsky. When he was in there against Kevin Love, he went to town on Kevin Love on the offensive end. He posted him up. He was getting some jump shots. He was taking them to the basket. And to see a rookie like that know that he's got a guy that he can take, that is a huge step in his progress. And hopefully that gives him some confidence when they play again, if Love is out there, that that's a matchup that he can take advantage of. So those are the kind of guys you need to step up when you're looking for extra help for Kemba Walker. You know the starters got to do it. Nick Batum, Marvin Williams, all those guys. We know Batum, we're not sure how his offensive game will go if he has to guard a guy like LeBron James, because that takes so much off of him. But again, it's the other guys that come off the bench, Jeremy Lamb, who had a big game when Kemba was out one time against Cleveland. So those kind of guys are the guys that really need to step up in that role to give Kemba some help.
And you mentioned Cleveland only two games ahead of the Toronto Raptors for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and the Raptors have beaten the Cavaliers twice this season. So that may, two out of the three games the Raptors have taken, so that may be a little miscalculation by the Cavaliers, who certainly have played their best basketball at home, but to give up that home court, I think, in a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup, unless Cleveland is maybe just not confident that Toronto can seal the deal and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And my friend Justin is shaking his head. Yes, that's probably.
Yeah, Cleveland's not worried about Toronto. Like, I don't want to. I am going to discredit Toronto. What has Toronto done in the playoffs recently? Like, I understand Cleveland, you know, they're so inconsistent, but they have LeBron James. That's enough. They're going to beat Toronto. I'd be shocked if Cleveland didn't beat Toronto.
Hey, listen, I have to agree with you, and it's kind of almost the same thing with the Hornets. A lot of fans are sitting back saying, hey, we don't want to match up against the Atlanta Hawks. We don't know if we want to match up against the Boston Celtics. They've beat us a couple times this year. Maybe we don't want to be in seven, but maybe in the second round or something like that, we don't mind matching up with the Raptors because of how the Hornets have played them in the past. So either one, we're not giving Toronto enough credit, and that could come back to bite some people, or two, like Justin said, people just don't believe in them because they haven't done anything in the playoffs and they have to prove it. So this is a big playoff season for the Raptors to see if they can prove themselves to be an actual real contender in the Eastern Conference.
But Justin, don't get too cocky. You're missing one big X factor, and that's Damari Carroll, who could return for the Raptors before the end of the season, getting him acclimated before the playoffs. That could be a huge addition to the Raptors roster, an element that they haven't had, a toughness on defense that they've been lacking here in the past couple of weeks.
Not worried.
So I think that's an issue. But it is an interesting point, because the disadvantage for the Hornets, if they were to get a fourth or fifth seed, is that they'd have to play the number one seed, and that at this moment would be Cleveland. But it would be very nice if Toronto did slip into that first seed, because then, you know, the Hornets have matched up well against Toronto, so we'll keep an eye on that. But Dustin, you're here this evening to talk to us about Courtney Lee, who has certainly made quite a strong impact on the defense. We were talking earlier about how the defensive rating for the month of March down to 101, that is equal with the defensive rating that they had in December, when they were probably playing their best defensive ball this year. Talk to us about Courtney Lee and his impact.
Now, what an impact he's made since he's came over. He's just a perfect fit for this team. He's not a huge name, so wouldn't have got a lot of publicity at the trade deadline. But it's another one of those sneaky moves that Rich Cho does around the trade deadline, where
Cho
he basically
knows.
Gets a guy for nothing. And that guy, absolutely. And that guy's able to come in and make an impact right away for a stretch run. And just looking at Courtney Lee, I mean, this is a guy who's been in the league for a while. He's got that experience. He's played around playoff teams who have made a significant run. So to have him on this team, it is huge. And when you look at it here, Coach Clifford raves about him. He just talks about how he does all of the right things on the floor. He has high basketball IQ. So he's just one of those guys where you can put him out there. He's not going to be flashy, so people aren't really going to notice him. But all of a sudden, you look up at the end of the game and you look at the box score, and he's sitting around 13 or 14 points. And when you look at the guy he's guarding, the guy has had a really off night. So he just does those things that nobody really points out when you're looking at stats and looking at big-time players. But he's a guy that is essential when you're trying to have a playoff team who is not only trying to win their first playoff game, but maybe even a playoff series. So what a pickup by the Hornets to bring a guy like that in.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at who he replaced in P.J. Hairston, who certainly Clifford would defend vehemently, but I think there is an added level of professionalism, an added level of consistency, and an added level of chemistry. Courtney Lee was on Inside the Lines with Marty Herney earlier this week on ESPN 730, and here's what he had to say about the state of the team right now and its chemistry?
This team is together, and it doesn't matter who's leading the team in any category. It's just about getting a win, and the opponents but can't prepare to, like, take one or two guys away, like you say, because there's different options every night with guys that are stepping up and making plays.
The danger, Dustin, whenever you add someone at the trade deadline, whenever you shake it up, and this was a team in the Charlotte Hornets that had played well in portions before the All-Star break, so this isn't like, you know, bringing an added piece to a solidified playoff team or adding a piece to a poorly performing team. This was a sort of a teeter-totter. It could have gone either way, and it looks like he has been able to not only acclimate himself to this team, but really give them an edge that they needed on the defensive end and add to that chemistry that they seem to have developed.
I mean, he definitely has. And the one you brought up, PJ Harrison's name a few minutes ago. And I mean, that's one thing that I was going to touch on is when you look before Courtney Lee got here, they kind of had a rotation of who was starting at shooting guard. But for the most part, it was PJ Harrison. He started 43 games for this Hornets team before he was traded. And I was looking at the numbers today. And out of those 43 games that PJ Harrison started, he only played over 30 minutes four times in all of those 43 games. Now you've got Courtney Lee coming in, who's averaging about 31 minutes a game. And when you talk about bringing a guy in midseason and you don't know if it's going to work, I think it's almost the complete opposite this year. I mean, you had PJ before this, and although Coach, you know, defended him, and although PJ maybe did some decent things on defense, we all know that he was very inconsistent. And this is not to bash on PJ Harrison. It just didn't work out. But when you bring a guy like Courtney Lee in now, and you know that you can throw him out there every night for over 30 minutes a game, how much confidence does that give your starters, your coach? How much fresher does that make your bench, knowing they don't have to come in early during a game or stretch themselves out longer? So to have a guy like that, to know you can put out there and can have chemistry with the teammates that he does, is so huge for this team. And, I mean, again, it's not going to get enough publicity, but this might have been, besides maybe a move that Detroit made, probably the biggest move at the trade deadline, and it's paying off now.
Well, I like the stat that you bring out about the minutes per game, because we talk about Courtney Lee's consistency in terms of his individual performances, but his ability to play heavy minutes and be a factor defensively has allowed Steve Clifford, in my mind, to develop really solid rotations and solid rotations really when it comes to the bench. Like, the bench knows who they're going to play with. The starters know who they're going to play with. And I don't think that was as much the case when PJ was here, because you would see his minutes vary wildly depending on how he started the basketball game. So, yeah, I think that's a great point. And Lee's also added an element of experience, Dustin, that I think will pay dividends in the playoffs, because he's been to an NBA Finals in his rookie year and made an impact in that rookie year in the NBA Finals for the Orlando Magic under Clifford as an assistant coach for that team. Again, Lee on ESPN 730 Inside the Lines talking about what he adds to this team.
I think just one thing that I can bring is just that experience and that understanding of what it takes to win in the playoffs, and get that leadership on and off the court, by example.
So he's brought a lot of leadership and experience to the defensive end of the floor, Dustin. What has he done to get this defense back to the level that it was playing at early in the season?
Well, he's just, I mean, it's just a great individual defender as well as a great team defender. And, you know, I really wanted to dig deep into his numbers since he's got here on the offensive and defensive end. And, you know, looking at on the defensive end, I looked at a last 10-game stretch where the Hornets have really been playing some good basketball. And three of their biggest wins were against the Rockets, the Heat in Miami, and then, of course, that incredible win against the Spurs. And when you look at those three teams, they have three very good guards that Courtney Lee has to guard. And then the first one, obviously, is James Harden with the Rockets. You look at that game in a Hornets win, which basically was a blowout. James Harden goes 2-for-14 from the field, 0-of-5 from three for only 12 points. And that's, you know, our Harden averages 28.6 points per game on the year. So an incredible defense there. Obviously, we know Courtney Lee doesn't do it all by himself. Obviously, there's times when other guys will step up and help him out. But that is a great performance by him. And then you look in Miami when he shuts Wade down. Wade goes 3-for-13 for only 11 points. Hornets get a win. Then in the Spurs game, He holds Danny Green, Manu Ginobili, and Patty Mills to a combined 2 for 13 from the floor for 7 points. Now, obviously,
that's
he didn't
guard
all those guys, but again, that's solid when those three guys combine to average 26 points a game for the season for the Spurs. So just looking at the impact that he's made, obviously, again, he's not on the floor the entire time guarding those guys, but it's the things that he passes off to his teammates to show the experience that he has to help them on defense, be a good help defender. I mean, those are solid plays that he's making down the stretch when the Hornets really needed some wins to fight for home court. And again, from looking at his numbers, he's only getting better as this year goes on. So I only expect his minutes, his numbers, his defense to increase heading into the playoffs.
So here's what I'm looking at as the Hornets look at different playoff matchups. You know, one team we've talked about that the Hornets have struggled against this season, the Boston Celtics and Avery Bradley. And Isaiah Thomas had a lot to do with that. And so I look at this addition with Courtney Lee, and I think you could switch him on to Isaiah Thomas, or he could help shut down Avery Bradley. And I think that would do – of course, Courtney Lee was not on this team when the Hornets lost both of those games to the Boston Celtics. So I think his addition could be an X factor in a potential series with Boston. And if you go down the line, Bazemore has played really well against the Hornets, and I think Courtney Lee could do a good job against – Bazemore as well. And you know, here's a sneaky thing, guys, that I think we don't touch on enough with Courtney Lee, but I talked about the pace numbers increasing both in February and March, and I think that Courtney Lee has a lot to do with that, because it's funny, because he's replacing a guy in MKG who he always said that about, that everyone talks about the defense, no one talks about what MKG does in transition. I think Courtney Lee's the same way. I think he is able to get steals and cause turnovers, push the ball up the floor, and fill a gap in fast break points that I think this team would struggle with, because, you know, Batum likes to slow the ball up, Kimba likes to push the ball, but you got to have more than one guy on the floor. It takes two. In my mind, there are a couple guys like LeBron James, a couple of one-man fast break guys, but normally in the fast break, it takes two to tango, and right now, Kimba has a great Dancing with the Stars partner in Courtney Lee.
He's got a great partner, and you know, it's funny, we talk about Lee's defense and how important it is, and obviously that'll be a huge factor come playoff time, but if people don't really look at the stats, his offensive game has been very consistent for this Hornets team in this past 10 games. He did not score in double digits his first 8 games as a Hornet as he was getting settled in, but let me give you these numbers for the last 10 games, and you tell me if this fits the bill of this team. He's averaging almost 11 points a game.
I like it.
He's shooting 48% from the field.
I really like it.
He's shooting 45%. He's shooting 45% from three.
Oh yeah.
And he's shooting 88% from the line. And again, he's averaging 31 minutes a game. So you don't think that team would take that consistency every night? And then you look at the biggest win in that stretch against the Spurs. Not only did he shut down those three guys, but he had 17 points, including the game-winning steal at the end of the game. So tell me that this guy is not a perfect fit for this team and going to help them make a big impact in the playoffs.
Well, listen, I won't tell you that. I'll let my good friend Cody Zeller tell you that.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. I like those stats. Dustin, great stuff there, my friend. You can follow Dustin on Twitter at Dustin Pfeiffer, P-H-I-F-E-R. Thank you, Dustin. We'll talk to you soon, my friend. Great stuff.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Woo! That was man. If you like statistics, if you like deep analytics on players, if you like scouting reports, if you like good defense and good offense, two-way players, you probably enjoyed that segment.
I did enjoy that section. I'm not a big numbers guy, Dustin. He did well on that. Two things though. One, I'm a big James Harden fan. Nobody can shut James Harden down. He had an off night. Two,
he couldn't hit a three.
When you average what 28.6 points a game, you're gonna have a bad night. I'm just saying. But the other thing that I liked, and well, I won't even say liked, but questioned, what Courtney Lee is doing right now is what Charlotte envisions Michael Kidd-Gilchrist being able to do for them going forward. Mm. And when you talked about that, it just made me think, is he ever going to be healthy enough to give them those numbers? Like, Courtney Lee is doing everything that they wanted Michael Kidd-Gilchrist to do. And I would really like, just for people who really enjoy the Hornets and just for my sake of watching them play basketball, I would just love for that kid to be able to get healthy, because I think he could do similar things, if not better.
All right, those who I no, I agree with you. Those who have been patiently listening, waiting for this ticket giveaway, the time is now. We've pinned a tweet to the top of our Twitter profile. Go there now, retweet that tweet for a chance to win two tickets to see the Philadelphia 76ers take on your Charlotte Hornets in Time Warner Cable Arena on Friday night, 7 o'clock p.m. That tip. It's that simple. Just retweet that tweet that we pinned to the top of the Hive Talk Live Twitter page for a chance to win those two tickets. And it's part of our effort to get up to 20,000 listens in the month of March. It's been a big month for the Hornets. It's been a big month for Hive Talk Live. And we'd just like to say a big thank you to everyone that has listened, not only to the Tuesday and Thursday shows, but also the Hive O'Clock Alarms. We'd also like to thank every single person that has taken the time out to guest on this show. And, of course, our friends at ESPN 730. Speaking of ESPN 730, and speaking of players who are playing well in this two-week stretch, or this really this incredible month for the Hornets, we've got Adi Joseph, who has joined the Pulse yesterday with Chris Allison and Bobby Rosinski on ESPN 730 AM. He's talking about Nick Batum and how he's become an offensive, vital offensive piece and steady defensive hand. Let's take a listen.
Nick Batum, though, Adi, is he solidifying himself as being a guy that we'll see having a lot of attention this offseason in the NBA?
Oh, yeah, I think he's been on that list just because there's so much money and so few other free agents who are simply on his level. There's just not that many guys that you want to throw a max deal at, and so he might get one even though in a normal year he wouldn't. But certainly this recent stretch has been a nice little plus for both him and the Hornets.
Did you think this was out there for Batum to be like he is? I mean, I didn't watch him a whole lot in Portland, as there were some other big-name guys there that kind of had Batum farther down the pecking order, but was this always some people thought in the NBA we could see from Batum?
It's funny because he plays like this whenever he plays for France, and Blazers fans had a long history of being sort of frustrated with him for not bringing the France Nick Batum to Portland every year. But the real answer was he wasn't the focal point of what the Blazers were doing. And so I kind of had an inkling that, yes, France Nick Batum might really just be focal point Nick Batum, and that's what the Hornets offered him, was the chance to make offense instead of defense his number one asset that he provides. And so he hasn't maybe been able to do it every single night. He's had some really awful shooting nights for sure, but he's always had this ability.
That was Adi Joseph, now deputy editor at Sporting News.
Congrats, big
guy. Congrats, Adi. My man. He's awesome. Love Adi. He joined the Pulse with Chris Allison and Bobby Rosinski. You can listen to the Pulse anytime on ESPN730.com or, as I found out, the ESPN radio app. That's a good way to listen live.
Fancy, right?
3 to 7, weekday afternoons, the Pulse. He was talking about Nick Batum and the frustrations that Blazers fans had with not getting the maximum amount of Nick Batum, and I think the Hornets have certainly gotten the maximum amount of Nick Batum, a guy who is not a triple-double threat every night, but he is a triple-double threat, and he's a guy that even if he's not scoring the ball well, can impact the game in other ways offensively with his distribution. And I have to set the maxometer, whether or not we give Nick Batum the max. I think we have to set that to 9. I think it's high up there now, because other national guys are coming out and saying that's, you know, a lot of this is stirred by conversation. You know, the market, we talk about what does the market say, and a lot of that has to do with the national guys. The rest of the NBA, do other teams think he's a max guy? All of these things swirl and create a market, and you're already seeing national guys coming out and saying, Nick Batum, max guy. I think the Hornets are going to have to get the wheelbarrows out, put as much money as they can in there, and back it up into his contract signing.
Yeah, I still, if I was another team, I guess if I had a little bit more, I wouldn't give him the max deal. But for Charlotte, oh, you know, you're good now. People care. You can't just let him walk. I would say this season has been three steps forward. If there's some reason, even if they offer the max deal and Batum doesn't come back, I think you take 2 to 4 steps back. They just look better when he's on the floor. Now, granted,
well, he does it. The thing with Nick Batum is that he does it with such ease. Like it doesn't look difficult with him at all on offense. The way he moves off ball and off of screens, and the way he can get his shot against even more physical, even taller defenders, he's able to rise above with those long arms and knock down shots that you go, it looked easy, but that had to be an incredibly difficult shot to take. And of course, drawing the fouls on the three-point shot, I mean, he's not a guy that you can throw the ball to. He's not a Carmelo Anthony that you can throw the ball to and say, go get me a bucket. But he's a guy that can get on really devastating scoring streaks. He can put buckets back to back to back to back and break the back of the opponent. And Charlotte hasn't seen a guy like that in a very long time.
Do you know what I like about Batum? You watch a lot of guys make nice moves, and you can tell that they worked hard. Or if somebody's getting physical, mm-hmm. you can tell it frustrates them. Back to your points, he's just silky smooth.
It's like people who use three words, or it's like the guy that you were describing is like a guy that uses 10 words when they only needed 4. And, you know,
because guys get into him at times.
Nick Batum.
Like, his facial expression doesn't change. He doesn't become the aggressor. He always plays his game. He's even keel. Now, you might see him, you know, do his little celebration if he missed a three. And he does, like, his little skip jump. I don't know what you call it. That's the most you're going to get out of him. He's extremely calm whether the shots are falling. And I just like watching him play.
This whole team is even keel. And I think, you know, when you're talking about team building, I think they went out and got a lot of guys who are professional, who are even keel, and that's how they've. I mean, I think the front office has manufactured this chemistry. It wasn't something that happened by accident. I think they went out and got guys who could get along with one another because generally they can get along with everyone. So, I think that's a testament.
To back your point,
yeah.
A guy from, what is it, WSOC asked, so are you guys going to go out and celebrate if you guys were to clinch? He said, you know, we're going to be happy, but, you know, we're not going to sell ourselves short of that. Like, we want to make the playoffs, but we're not going out.
That's step one.
Yeah, like, we're not going out and having a party or buying bottles all night because the goal is to get a championship. And I that answer right there summed up everything, because whether they beat the Sixers or they beat the Spurs or they beat the Cavs, you're not going to get anything different. They're going to say, we played well as a team. It was a good win going forward. We're going to go back, watch film, practice, and look forward to putting a good game together tomorrow night. And it's showing.
All right, let's go back out to the Hive Talk Live hotline where our man Nick Denning, he's the birthday boy. Happy birthday, Nick. Welcome on to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Nick, are you getting old?
Yes. I mean, I'm edging closer to 30.
Getting older, getting married. This is a big year for you.
Age is beautiful.
How old are you now, 16?
Yeah.
17?
I wish. No, 27.
Hey, nothing wrong with that at all.
Don't worry. Your voice will change one day.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Nick, you wrote a great article on Aaron Harrison thriving in the D-League, would you say? We want to check in on this guy. He's been with the Erie BayHawks for a little while now. How's Aaron Harrison doing in the D-League?
Well, he had a pretty good performance a few nights prior to his most recent one. He scored 34 points, but it was obviously a lot of points. But I think more impressively, he was 6 of 11 from the 3-point line, which is something that, you know, the Hornets definitely want to see more of. You know, him making more from the outside. Most recently, he scored 27, and this was in a close loss to the Delaware 87ers. You know, despite the 27 points, he was 0 of 7 from the 3-point line. So I think this kind of sheds light on the fact that, you know, he is getting better, but it's not consistently enough from that 3-point line, mind you. But what I liked, you know, if you watch the highlights of that game against the 87ers, what I liked is almost all of his shots were created off of, you know, his own doing. So whether it was dribbling through defenders, pulling up for jump shots, I mean, none of these were coming off of, you know, catch and shoot opportunities. And I think that's something that, you know, he could potentially bring to the next level.
So creating his own shot, that's a positive way to look at it, but he probably wouldn't be called on to create too many shots when he gets another shot at the big leagues. Do you think that isn't that kind of a D-League thing? I mean, don't all guys create their shots in the D-League? It's not a very pass-happy league, I'd imagine.
No, it's not. But I think that's where the three-point shooting has to come in. It has to be so important for him, because I think he's showing he can you know, create for himself. But, like, you know, I think you make a point there. He's not going to probably be able to do that at the next level. He's not even really going to be asked to do that. But if he can't improve that three-point shooting, that could open up maybe some of the other stronger parts of his offensive game, like that creating for himself. And, you know, we're not expecting him to be any focal point of the offense, but, you know, we've seen some of these role players throughout the season kind of have those moments where they can kind of take things into their own because they're playing well.
What's the best case scenario, do you think, for Aaron Harrison as he looks to a summer where he'll have to show not only the Hornets, but the rest of the league that he can get back in this thing and tussle with NBA players?
That's a good question. You know, he's got to have a good summer, obviously. And I think the one thing that he has going for him is he has that contract through next season. But my feeling has always been that, you know, even if he has a really good summer and a really good training camp, I think they probably see him going to the Swarm and kind of being the focal point of the Swarm. Not to say that he won't get a shot at times in the NBA, because I think the Hornets probably plan to bring players up and down a lot. But you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you expect the Hornets are going to try and keep this nucleus together. And even if they lose a few guys, some of the, you know, smaller role players, I'm not sure where Harrison fits on, you know, on the roster just yet.
Nick Denning here talking about Aaron Harrison. If you want to get a little more in-depth look, make sure to check out his article on At The Hive. Nick, you want to stick around and play a little Are You Okay With That? It's a new segment we have.
Absolutely.
All right. So it's called Are You Okay With That? And we're going to look at a few topics from around the NBA and ask these two wonderful gentlemen and scholars of the NBA, are you okay with that? First comes D'Angelo Russell. I don't want to get into this argument that seems to be happening on Twitter about who is more wrong, D'Angelo Russell for taping Swaggy P secretly or Swaggy for cheating on Iggy Azalea. That's a very toxic argument. I won't put you gentlemen through that. I want to focus on what the Lakers fans did in that game against the Heat. They booed D'Angelo Russell. Lakers fans, his own team's fans, booed him every time he touched the ball. I ask, we'll start with you, Justin, the big Lakers fan. Are you okay with that?
I am not okay with that. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, during the Super Bowl, John Casey had a terrible kickoff, which okay. ended up putting the Patriots in field goal range to eventually win the game.
Thank you for bringing that up.
That fanfare the following summer, when John Casey came out round to the field, the teams adored him. D'Angelo Russell didn't miss a shot to win the NBA Finals. Yes, you know, he's supposed to keep a lot of those things in confidence, but he didn't. The kid made a mistake. He's going to learn. He's going to grow for it. But to boo, I think that's a little extensive.
Nick Denning, are you okay with that?
You know, I'm not okay. Well, I guess what's interesting is, you know, I've been kind of listening and reading some other takes on this. And you know, something I will give D'Angelo some credit for is he has kind of handled it pretty well ever since this got out. And it seems like almost every other party kind of seems to not be handling necessarily all right. I mean, I understand why the fans are booing, but I mean, that's not exactly going to change anything. I mean, they did win that game, by the way, which is, I think, you know, big ups to the Lakers, by the way, because we needed that. We needed the Heat to lose. I don't think I'm not okay with, I guess, the fans booing, but at the same time, I do kind of understand where they're coming from. I don't know. It's a tough one to answer.
It's just a weird, like, snitches get stitches, like, mentality, mob mentality from this Lakers. It's like, what does this have to do with you Lakers fans? This is, I mean, why boo? It's just such a weird thing to
me.
I don't understand it either.
Boos.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Tony Parker on a French radio station predicted that Greg Popovich will rest the starters during both remaining matchups with the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors on track to beat the best record of all time in the NBA. But Coach Pop looks like he might rest his starters. Nick, we'll start with you on this one. Are you okay with that?
You know, I am. And I think because this is almost like a no-lose situation for the Spurs. Like, the Spurs aren't chasing, you know, the best record in the NBA. They probably figured that they'll be the two seed regardless. You know, if they lose these games, so be it. I mean, they're still going to be – they've rested their players. The guys will be fresh going into the playoffs. If they win the games, think about how that's going to affect the Warriors. You know, hey, you just lost one or two of these games with, you know, the starters resting. Like, that could have, like, a psychological effect there. So, I like it.
Resting starters against the Golden State Warriors, it's a little bit of, like, cheap. It could cheapen the Warriors' quest for 73. Justin, are you okay with that?
No, I'm not okay with it.
You're not okay with it. He's cranky. We already know he's tired. He's cranky now.
I love the NBA, and I love the big games that the NBA has slated. And granted, for the third time today, the Spurs are getting a little bit older, but you would think they'd want to get the home record. Granted, their bigger goals are to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Do we're in the NBA Finals? I don't like it.
This is what you get for using a football analogy in a basketball show.
Put out Kawhi, LaMarcus Aldridge, Tony Parker, and stop the babyface assassin and take care of that home court.
You know, I get it. I know the segment's called Are You Okay With That? But my response is I get it. Like, you know, you want to rest your starters. You don't want to show your hands. But I think, you know, as an NBA fan, I just want to see the big matchups. And it just sort of cheapens the regular season. I know that the playoffs are a second season, and that's what it's all about. But I just hope one day we I don't know what you have to do to the season, if you have to shorten it or something, but I hope one day the regular season, and especially the end of the regular season, could matter a little more.
Thank you. That was a great answer. Finally, somebody feels the same way.
I don't know. All right.
No rest.
We'll do this one really quick, really quick. Bucks head coach Jason Kidd thinks there's a misunderstanding about his new point man, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He says that Giannis will be the initiator on offense, but not guard point guards, much like LeBron James. Oh, I bet Giannis felt good about that. Thanks, coach, for comparing me to LeBron. Are you okay with Jason Kidd pledging his point guard position into the future to the Greek freak, Justin?
I love it. Point guards drive the NBA. If Giannis gives you the best at handling the ball and running that offense, let's go ahead and make Giannis that point guard.
Nick Denning, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I got to agree because, I mean, if there is no better option right now on that team than Giannis, and Giannis is doing well, especially this past month, yeah, give it to him. Let it go. See what you can get out of it. I mean, if he can improve on it in the summer as well, I mean, yeah, I like it.
There you go. That was our first segment of Are You Okay With That? Let us know what you think on Twitter at Hive Talk Live. Nick Denning at The Hive. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick Denning. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you on Tuesday, my
friend. Enjoy that birthday, my man.
Yeah. Have a good birthday.
Hey, thank you.
Eat some cake. All right. We have a little over 2 minutes left. Time for one last thing. And this is a celebration. You know, we're a podcast. We're an independent podcast. And we exist on atthehive.com, an SB Nation blog. So we have to give it up when one of our independent coverage brethren gets a shout out from an NBA head coach. And this happened. Rick Carlisle asked about going with a particular substitution late in a game. And I'll just let Rick Carlisle explain why he decided to go with this particular substitution.
I looked at Mavs Moneyball and it was something I read that inspired me to do that.
MavsMoneyball.com, the SB Nation blog on the Dallas Mavericks, wrote an article and apparently Rick read it.
That's beautiful.
Score one for the blogs. Yes.
Big time at the moment.
We've made it.
But guys are making their way. That's beautiful.
You think Steve Clifford ever listens to this podcast? You think he's secretly one of our Twitter followers?
Clifford's old school. He probably don't even know what Twitter is. All right, maybe he knows what Twitter is, but I know he doesn't have an active account. I know that for a fact.
Well, if you're listening, Steve, try to get Spencer in there a little more. We want to see a little more Hoss, I think. A little ball movement.
If he can stand on 2 feet. You know, Spencer's got a bad back.
All right, that'll do it for us, Hornets fans. Again, thank you so much for helping us. If we get to 20,000, if we don't get to 20,000, thank you so much for listening and supporting this podcast as we continue to do great things and the Hornets continue to do great things. It always makes doing this show a lot easier. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Hive Talk Live for live game updates and more. Go to listen to ESPN 730 AM anytime, anywhere at ESPN730.com. For Justin, Dustin, and Nick, I'm Doug saying stay bought in, stay believing. All hail the teal and purple.